The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Hello. Welcome to The Rescue Worker. I'm so thankful that you have joined us today for this Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. We are a community of Jesus apprentices where we are trying to learn how to love, to serve, and be like the Master. And I'm blessed that you have decided to be with us today as we continue our journey, and special on chapter 4. Today we start our journey to the wilderness with Jesus Christ. And I pray that you'll be blessed by the study and reflection of today's Bible reading. As you know, Jesus' apprentices have a model. A model that guides their life. And the model for Jesus' apprentices is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. That is the way that Jesus' apprentices, they want to live. They want to live a life based on love. Loving God, loving the neighbor, and loving ourselves. And I want to challenge you to experience this lifestyle based on love. On this journey of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, we are on our sixth week. And every week, we have a special Bible verse that we encourage you to memorize this verse. And the verse for this week comes from Jesus' experience of baptism. And the Holy Spirit, in bodily form, descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy." Why should we memorize such a Bible verse? Well, I think this Bible verse is so important for us today because that is the reality how God sees us and relates to us. He loves you. He loves me. You are His loved son, loved daughter, and He's proud of you. You may say, "Pastor, I don't think He's proud of my actions and decisions and my thoughts." Well, God is proud of who you are, your existence, for being His son, His daughter. He's proud of that. That is enough to bring joyness to God's heart. So I think that is important because that is related to our identity, who we are in Jesus Christ. And we need more and more to understand what's our true identity in Christ, in Jesus, in God, in the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God. And for that, we need to approach God, understanding that every time we come in Bible study, we should come in a humble position to listen to God's voice. Sometimes people come to the Bible to find proofs or find tools for their ideas and their thoughts, their preference. They are trying to use the Bible for their own benefit. But we should approach the Bible in a humble posture where we will learn from the Bible. And more to learn, have the experience with God. We have this invitation from God to come to Him. Hebrews 4:16 says the following: "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and will find grace to help us when we need it most. It's before God that we come every day in prayer and Bible study. And to help us for this learning posture, to help us with this humble posture, I want to give you 1 minute for you for to do a short prayer, to position yourself in a way that you can pay attention to God's word, to the impressions of the Holy Spirit at this moment. So take this 1 minute to prepare yourself to come before God and His throne. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is good to be in your presence. It is wonderful to experience your grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to get together and spend time with you. We ask for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We ask for a personal experience with Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, we are now on chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. We just finished the baptism of Jesus and then Jesus' genealogy. And at Jesus' baptism, was clear that he was the Son of God. The Holy Spirit came to anoint him. He heard the voice of God saying, "You are my beloved Son, and I'm so proud of you." So we see his divine identity. Then comes the genealogy, and we see, yes, the roots of his divine identity, because he is the Son of God, but also as the son of Adam. He comes as the second Adam. He comes as one of us, fully human. And I think one of the main aspects that Luke is trying to convey as we report Jesus' temptation that appears in Luke chapter 4 is to present how human Jesus was. When I was growing up, my favorite superhero was Superman. And Superman was this person with special powers coming from another world that hid himself behind the appearance of a reporter, behind reading glasses, right? He's still that man, that Superman, but was just hiding behind a reading glasses or a suit. And when it was necessary, he would take his reading glasses and go to action. Interesting, right? And I remember that when I was growing up, I wished I had reading glasses because I want to be like Superman and take my reading glasses. Well, I had to wait until 40 years old to have my reading glasses. And today, I don't think it's that so fun anymore to having reading glasses. But anyhow, Superman someone that hides himself as human. Some people understand Jesus in the same way. Oh, Jesus was God, just hiding himself as human. And I think here is the beauty what we have in Luke chapter 4. Because in Luke chapter 4, we don't see a Superman hiding as human. We see a fully human person facing the same problems that we face, being in the same situations where the devil is trying to destroy his faith, his identity in God, his mission, trying to lead him to sin. So Jesus, according to the Gospel of Luke, was fully man, but fully divine, fully God. How that works, we don't know. But Jesus was not hiding or appearing as human. He was really a human. And the book of Hebrews tells that very clear. It is very interesting because every day we read this Bible verse in Hebrews 4:16. But the previous verses tell us that Jesus, he was like one of us, and he was tempted in everything we are, but he overcame. And because he understands who we are, because he faced the same situations, challenges, and issues, he can have compassion of us. And for this reason, we can come before the throne of grace boldly, because we'll find mercy and grace, because he understands our reality. Jesus was fully man. He was from Adam. He came as the second Adam to overcome where Adam failed. He became to be the representative of humankind, so he could fix what Adam and Eve on their decision made wrong. So he was fully man. He was thirsty, hungry. He was weak. He was fully man. And now, with this idea in mind, let's start reading Chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Let's stop here and let's point out a few elements. Then, so after the baptism, Luke's connecting with the baptism, returned from the Jordan River. Right, so he went to the Jordan River to be baptized, where he, as he was praying, he receives the Holy Spirit and the anointment of the Holy Spirit and the confirmation. Okay, and then from there he goes to the wilderness. I have my map here of Israel, the landscape today, so I can try to explain to you. So we have here the Jordan River. Probably is hard to see, but comes from the Galilee Sea. The Jordan River is born here in the Lebanon mountains and hills, and comes down, gives water to the Galilee Sea, comes down to the Dead Sea, where he kind of ends. We believe that John the Baptist was preaching just here north of the Dead Sea. So Jesus comes here. You see here, here's Galilee. You see how green it is. But you see how is the color here? Here we have a desert, a rocky desert. Okay? So this rock desert starts here. Okay? So John was preaching here. Jesus was baptized here and then he goes to the desert. It's not far. Even the place that they believe that Jesus was tempted, or the place that they celebrate the temptation, this experience of Jesus in the wilderness, is probably 4 or 5 kilometers from the place where Jesus was baptized, or where we believe he was baptized. The desert was there. Okay, so just for you to understand the geography, what's happening, the movement, I think that's important to have a better understanding. So he leaves the Jordan River and he goes to the wilderness. Who is behind him, leading him to the wilderness? The Holy Spirit. And Luke is very clear, he is full of the Holy Spirit. He's dominated by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit guide him to the wilderness. One point that I want to make here is that even though Jesus was fully of the Holy Spirit, he was not doing, let's say, signs or speaking in another languages, right? Because some people say, understand that when the person is full of the Holy Spirit, they will give evidences in a different form of behavior and ability. And what we see here, that people is full of the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth, Mary, Jesus, Zachariah, John, and they don't have those signs that people say today, that signs that you have, you're full of the Holy Spirit. Being full of the Holy Spirit goes beyond these signs. It is very interesting because the need for signs is for those that don't believe. That happened with Zachariah. That's what Paul says, right? The Jewish people look for signs. They want to have evidences, right? Being fully of the Holy Spirit doesn't mean someone will have specific signs, but he's fully of the Holy Spirit and he was led by the Holy Spirit. And it's very interesting, this verb led in the original means that the declination of this verb gives the idea of continuing being led. So it's not just this moment, but it's an ongoing process of being guided by the Holy Spirit. So what that means is that Jesus surrendered himself, submit himself to the Holy Spirit, to be guided by the Holy Spirit. You see, many religions or denominations today, they say they can control the Holy Spirit and they can ask the Holy Spirit to manifest in a certain way or to provide some signs. But when we see the relationship of Jesus with the Holy Spirit, we don't see the Holy Spirit being a tool of Jesus. We don't see Jesus controlling the Holy Spirit. What we see is the Holy Spirit leading Jesus, guiding Jesus. Jesus submitted himself to the Holy Spirit. Jesus, he didn't come to God and to the Holy Spirit and said, "Hey, here's my plans for today. Bless my plans." No. Jesus came to the Holy Spirit and the Father and he would ask, "What are my plans for today? What do you expect for me? Where should I go? Who should I approach? What should I tell them? What should I do?" Jesus submit himself to the Holy Spirit. And if Jesus did that, how about you and I? You know, there are people that they think they are God. They are the Holy Spirit. That their idea, their opinion is the right idea, the right opinion. And everybody must follow their idea and their opinion. And then they hide themselves, "Oh, because I'm a man of God. Oh, because I'm praying, because I'm a leader of a church, I'm an elder, I'm a pastor." And they hide themselves behind their position, their authority, to say and do things in the name of God, but that just reflects who they are. But the example of Jesus is submitting himself to the Holy Spirit. And you and I must do the same. And the Holy Spirit led Jesus to where? To the wilderness. What this wilderness means? Well, the wilderness is an area of isolation. An area where you can concentrate only in one thing. Interesting that the wilderness, and even a period of time, and let me just read verse 2, we don't pay attention on the part of Satan or the devil, but where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all the time, became very hungry. So I want to point out these 40 days in the desert, because those elements, they bring us back to many accounts of the Bible. But the main goal of the wilderness is not a test, but going to the wilderness is going to a place where I will focus in my relationship with God. And what we see throughout the Gospel of Luke is Jesus, before the sunrise, at the end of the day, going to an isolated place, a wilderness, so he can connect with God. Is leaving where you are with the distractions and attractions and temptations, and clean yourself to focus the connection with God. That happened with Moses 40 days in the mountain between him and God, Elijah. And for sure, the structure and the language, the phrases, the words used here in the account of Jesus' temptations take us to the experience of the people of Israel in the desert for 40 years. And we'll talk more about that as we unfold the temptations in the following days. But it's interesting, when Moses comes to Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go so they can go to the wilderness and worship the Lord." So Moses is trying is, let's take go away from this abusive relationship environment. Let's go away from this place saturated by idolatry. Let's go away from this place that doesn't lead us to God, and let's go to the wilderness so people can connect with God. So the Holy Spirit leading Jesus to the wilderness, he was leading Jesus close to God. You are starting your mission. You are starting your ministry. You need to spend time with God. The Holy Spirit always will lead us to a close communion with God. Is the Holy Spirit leading you close to God? Is the Holy Spirit invite you to go deeper with God? I know he is, but my question is, are you willing to allow the Holy Spirit to guide you through this experience with God? Jesus allowed himself to do so. And you and I should do the same. And personally, for me, this experience of walking in the Gospel of Luke is a way of Douglas saying yes to the Holy Spirit to come close to him. The difference here is that I'm doing in an open environment where other people can reflect and go along with me. And I know that as we come close to God, the devil will not be happy. The devil doesn't want us close to God, because he doesn't want us to understand what is our true identity, our purpose, our value. He doesn't want us to develop the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He wants us away from that. And I do believe that probably in your case, because that is my case, every time I'm intentional coming in a process of close to the closeness of with God, the devil tries to disrupt. The devil tries to bring storms and challenges, and it's happening in my life, and probably it's happening in your life, because the devil doesn't want us to have any close relationship with God. And that is what the devil tried to do with Jesus. The Holy Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness to have an experience with God, knowing that Jesus was approaching God in a close relationship. The devil tries to disrupt this encounter between Jesus and God. But the devil doesn't have the power if we cling in God's promise and God's power. He's defeated. He was defeated at the cross. So don't give up. And remember, even on this wilderness and the challenge that the wilderness come as we come close to God, because usually, when do you seek God the most? When everything's okay in your life, or do you have problems and challenges in your life? Yeah, probably when you have challenges in your life. So even the temptations, the attacks of the devil are an opportunity for us to seek God more and look for his guidance and look for his power and to become more like him. Before I finish, I just want to mention here the last part of verse 2. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Fasting. Some people don't understand fasting. And there's a good book that I would recommend to you, The Celebration of the Disciplines by Foster, where that's a classic. I think 30 or 40 years old, this book already. And is a classic of presenting the spiritual disciplines. And he talks one of his chapters about fasting. And fasting is not a way of flagellation, where I'm trying to hurt myself or to not have a certain kind of pleasure to avoid that so I can bargain with God. Say, God, I'm not doing this, so please help me to get this. Right? Some people see fasting as a way to force God to do what we want. I remember my family, we lived in a city in Brazil called São José dos Campos, where it was a road to the main religious city in Brazil called Aparecida, a city that celebrates the mother of Jesus Christ. And a specific day of the year, thousands and thousands of people would go towards to this city to have their experience, their spiritual experience. And many of them were trying to obtain what they would call a grace, a blessing. And some people would be paying back for a blessing. So some people would carry a cross for 100 kilometers or 200 kilometers. Some will walk bare feet, right, on the roads for 500 kilometers, whatever, will not eat and all that. So some were trying to receive a blessing, and others are trying to pay back a blessing. It's meaningful for them, but we don't see God asking that from us, because God is a graceful God. He gives to us out of His love, His grace of who He is. We had mentioned that before, that what Adam and Eve had done to deserve to be created according to God's image and likeness, what Adam and Eve had done to receive the Garden of Eden, what Adam and Eve had done to receive rest even before they start working. You see, everything is based on grace. It's God giving out of Himself, and human doesn't deserve. It's out of God, who He is, who God is. It's about His being. So fasting is not about that. Fasting is related to the concept of preparing yourself to just pay attention to God's voice and impression. You know, when we have a major celebration, a birthday or Thanksgiving or Christmas, we have a large dinner, sometimes we eat more than we should. And I tell you, it's even sometimes difficult to stay awake after a large dinner, plentiful meal, right? You cannot think properly. So abstaining off the food is cleaning your body so you can concentrate exclusively in God. So it's not a paying back, but it's helping yourself to be prepared and focus only in God. So Jesus is in the desert. He is fasting. And the main goal is to be connected with God. What have you been doing to be connected with God? Some people cannot spend 2 minutes a day. Others can not have time at all, just once a week. But the most important aspect of our lives, it is to be connected with God. And we should aim for that every single day, every single moment. We need to develop what I call the rhythm of grace, the rhythm of the spiritual life. Daily moments with God, at least 30 minutes. Weekly moments with God, at least a few hours. Monthly moments with God, let's say 12 hours. Quarterly moments with God, let's say a day. And yearly moments with God, a weekend, a week. We need to separate, to create, to develop this rhythm of spiritual life. And probably I'll try to post some of resources for you on the website, therescueworker.com, about the rhythm, developing a rhythm of spiritual life. And the spiritual disciplines can help us develop that. And fasting is one of them. But the main goal is not the discipline itself of not eating. It's not going to the wilderness or isolated place. It's not about praying. It's not about reading the Bible. The most important aspect of those disciplines is the channel that they can produce for us to be connected with God. Is the connection with God more important? So if you just take the Bible and start reading, but you're not connecting with God, yeah, you're being faithful to this spiritual discipline of Bible reading, but you're not accomplishing the main goal, that is to be connected with God. So the spiritual disciplines are here for us to facilitate our communion with God. And fasting is one of them. All that experience that we'll be studying right now or the following days, unfolding the following days with the temptation of Jesus, came out of Jesus' pursuit and desire to be connected with God, being led by the Holy Spirit to be close to God. And I pray that you accept God's invitation to be close to Him every single day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings. Help us to come close to you. Help us to have a daily experience with you. Forgive our sins, Lord, and give us the assurance that one day we'll be with you all the time, in a place where there is no pain, suffering, and death. But until that day, help us to have oases here on this earth as we are in your presence in communion with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go to our questions of reflection. And the questions for you to reflect upon are: what is happening in this passage that we just read? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? In what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? May God bless you abundantly. I hope to see you tomorrow as we continue this journey of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. And please, submit yourself to the work, guidance of the Holy Spirit, and let Him lead you close to God. Have a great day.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.